I'm Christy Kay. Welcome to Business Life After Hours, a podcast that takes a deep dive into real-life topics at the intersection of business and life. After the workday ends, that's where we pick up.
Julie Inkster, great to be with you here today.
Thanks, Christy.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit. You know, I was just watching a video about you and some of the amazing accolades that you have had. The Bob Jones Award, all of your wins, all of your victories through the years, the ESPY, the Golf Digest Awards. Does this resonate with you when I say you are the rock star and kind of like where your place is in this world and how many people you've impacted?
You know what? I look back on it and I realize, I've just kind of lived my life and I've kind of tried to live it the right way. I really think winning the Bobby Jones Award really resonated with me as far as an award going, how much I've maybe made a difference in golf and people. You don't win that award just because you're a good golfer. You win the award because what you do outside of golf. And I've never really thought of it that way. But hearing someone like Morgan Pressel talk, who's a really good friend of mine, about the influence I had on her, and you don't really realize. As you're going through life, that how you can help people and impact people, and it might just be a little thing, but I think having my girls introduce me for the Bobby Jones Award, when they started traveling with me at 6 weeks on tour, and where they are now in their life, and where I am now in my life, and with golf and personal life, it just kind of hit home that, you know what, it's been a really good ride.
It really has, and it continues, because you're not done golfing.
No, I'm not done golfing, but I'm really done playing on the LPGA. It's but I'll do the senior stuff, love doing outings. And I'm still gonna make an impact.
Absolutely. Well, you do every day.
No, thanks.
So we've talked so many times about how you got started in this game of golf and what influenced you the most and kind of what kept you going. You're such a resilient person, you're such a determined person. Was there someone in your life who had similar traits who kind of got you into the sport, but also kept you going in the sport?
Well, I mean, I my mom and my dad were a big influence on my life. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, but not competitive at all, but stubborn, resilient. I got that from her. Yes. My dad played professional baseball for a few years, so I probably get my athletic ability from him. My dad was a worker bee. He worked two jobs. He was a fireman, and his days off, he worked another job. And at 15, I had two older brothers. At 15, we had to get a job. And so I rode my bike up to the golf course. I didn't play golf. Got a job parking carts and picking up the range. Decided, I was a jock. I played basketball, I played football. Whatever my brothers played, I played. So they beat me up a little bit, but I feel like golf was something I could do that they weren't interested in. So, I mean, I actually got some lost and found clubs, and that's how I started playing.
That
was at 15. Ended up winning the amateur at 20, so I improved quickly.
Yes, you did.
It was because I played all the time. I played after school, before school. I was a huge basketball player. Fan, so I played high school basketball, but all our practices and games were at night, so I could do golf and basketball.
Now, you kind of have mentioned this, especially about your mother. I'm a huge proponent of women helping women and women helping girls, not being threatened to do so, not feeling like we can't do that because what if they get more than we get then?
Exactly.
So how do you feel about that in terms of being on the tour and being able to do that? I know the answer and the result because you've mentored so many. But how do you feel about kind of that whole notion that women really do need to help girls in our lives,
and
in our world?
I think it's weird. I think a lot of times women don't help women.
Yeah,
and it drives me crazy. But I think we're getting better at that.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, I know you know, the biggest compliment I ever get is someone coming up and asking me a question about either being a mom on tour or can I play a practice round with you? Mm. Or to me, that's the highest honor, is when someone does ask you that, because that means that you're open to giving advice and you're open to help grow the game, not only on the golf course, but off the golf course.
Well, you know, that kind of principle transcends whether it's corporate America or in other sports,
exactly,
in grade school, high mm-hmm. school, college, all that whole principle of really helping others and wanting to mentor them on their journey seems to be like we are all as women planting those seeds for empowerment, for success, for thriving, and for giving us equity.
Yeah, and I don't think there's anything better than being a mentor, than you know, someone calling you and say, hey, you know, what do I need to do here? Or I just think that's the highest honor of that. One, you're doing something right.
Yes.
And you're opening yourself up. You're being vulnerable. That, you know, hey, I'm gonna give you everything I got, but I'm
True.
Still gonna kick your ass on the golf course. But you know what? And that,
yes.
that's great. You
right.
know, you love that.
Absolutely. And it also means you matter.
Yes.
And what you've done matters.
Yes. And you know, hopefully, you're teaching people how to give back, and hopefully, you know, like Morgan Pressel, who does an amazing job of giving back, and you hopefully that maybe just along the way that maybe you helped her do that.
So you were her big sister on the tour when mm-hmm. she first started, mm-hmm. Morgan Pressel.
And I think the LPGA has done a great job with that, is having a veteran place with a rookie. So if there are questions and stuff, you know, they're willing to offer their advice.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to talk a little bit more then about women and equity mm-hmm. in terms of the purse. You talked before about, what did you make? You said your very first check on tour was how much?
$22,500. And as a 23-year-old, I thought that was a lot of money.
Yeah, indeed, but, right? What year was that, if I may?
1983. 83. Yeah, and you know, it's getting better with people like ProMedica and KPMG and AIG and Chevron. Mm-hmm. They're doing a great job of elevating the women's game, but we have a long way to go. We make about 10% of what the guys make.
Mm.
That's not a lot.
How do we change that? What needs to happen in order for us to get to the level where women are on equal
playing fields
and par with so to speak.
Par, nice. Nice.
A little
play
pun there.
Word. Yeah. Well, we need more awareness. We need to play better golf courses. We need TV revenue. I mean, we pay for our TV. If we want to be on network TV, the LPGA or the sponsor has to pay for TV. It's, you know, we're an organization that stands on our own. We don't have any help. Mm. We don't have the PGA help, you know, like the Champions Tour does and the Corn Ferry does. The WNBA, we don't have the NBA to help us. Tennis, you know, we aren't on equal fields as far as the men and the women. So we're always clawing our way, and
it's like it's difficult.
It
Why is.
Is
it it's, so
it's,
difficult?
It's exhausting.
Yes.
It's exhausting.
And frustrating, I'm sure, for you,
yeah,
who's
I
been
mean,
in the game for so
know,
many decades.
Every week we rent cars. We don't get courtesy cars. Hmm. I mean, at the U.S. Open we get courtesy cars. Some tournaments we get courtesy mm-hmm. cars. You know, we fly commercial. We lose our clubs. We miss flights. Flights are canceled. We stay in hotels. We don't rent houses. We room with people to cut costs down. I mean, it's survival.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually work as hard as the guys mm-hmm. on our craft.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah. So it's like it's you know, I look at the PGA Tour and the whole LIV right now, how they're competing against how do we make more money. It's like, you know, how do you share more money? You know, share
right.
a little bit. I mean,
Send
how much
over.
Do you need?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get to a point where it's like, you know, golf has always been, you know, a rich man's game, and well, they're showing it that it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you've done so much for women and in barrier breaking, if you will, women on tour, having children, being a mom, being a golf professional, traveling the globe. How on earth did you sort of break that barrier, if you will, and really start to show the tour that, come on, we're women here. We have children. We need to have a spot for these kids while we're on tour.
Yeah, Judy Dickinson was a big opponent with that, too. She had two kids, twins, and I had kids. And Charlie Meacham was actually our commissioner in 95. And Judy and I myself went up there and said, hey, you know, we're a women's organization, and we do not have daycare. Mm. And, you know, Charlie was like, yeah, let's do something. So Smuckers has been our daycare since 95, and they do an amazing job. Right now we have two teachers that go around, and they set up the schools for the kids the same way, so mm-hmm. when they come in, they know that Teacher Sue and Teacher Meredith are there. They have little cubby holes. They used to be able to take them on little outings, but now with the COVID thing and all that, they weren't able to do that. But
how nice that consistency is there. The kids don't know the difference necessarily from one market to the next, from one tournament to the next necessarily.
And you know, I hate to say this, but being a mom on tour is a whole lot different than being a dad on tour. You know, a dad, you know, the mom's still at home, or the mom's out watching them and drops their kids off at daycare. And, you know, the mom's on tour, you know, their husbands are working. They're not with them. They're traveling by themselves or with their mom or with a nanny. And, you know, so they're doing everything.
Right.
And it's a lot of work on these moms. And so to try to make it just a little easier for them, we needed a daycare.
Well, thank goodness you were there as one of the pioneers in making sure daycare happened.
Yeah.
And now you're a mother of two girls.
Mm-hmm.
So did they golf?
They played in high school, but it wasn't really their thing. But now that they're married and both their husbands love to play, they're getting back into it. So it's kind of fun now that we all can go out and play.
So do you take on the sons-in-law, little wager?
Yeah, they're not very good. So the first rule I gave them was, if you're going to play golf, always have another ball in your pocket, because they were, you know, hit a ball and they'd be, and then they go back and get to the bag and get another ball. And I go, if you don't have a ball in your pocket, you're just going to find that one. So now they come up and they got lots of golf balls in their pocket. But it's a lot
great.
Of fun, because they're both into it and they both love it. And, you know, they know my sense of humor, so I banter them a lot.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Now, you've done so much for the game of golf, and you've been in it for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Julie Inkster sitting here with me now the same Julie Inkster who was playing golf when she was 14, 15 years old?
I know so, no. I'm totally a lot more confident myself.
What hasn't changed about you?
I think the way I treat people, my parents were really big on treating people as you want to be treated. My parents get along with everybody, and I'm kind of the same way. I get along with everybody. I enjoy people. I enjoy talking to people, enjoy meeting people. That's why pro-ams are hard, but I always enjoyed it because some of my best friends have come out of playing in pro-ams.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm definitely more confident in myself. I got married early when I was 20. Brian was 30, so 10-year difference. I waited 10 years to have kids. Because I was a kid myself. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really ready. And then when you have kids, you have a lot of doubt of being a mom, because I really never was around little kids. I really didn't really know how I would be as a mom. I just knew my parents were very consistent. If they said no, we didn't ask again. And mm-hmm. that's kind of how I raised my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try to give them all the opportunities in the world and let them find out their passion.
Right, for sure. You never really pushed golf on them or wanted them to do exactly what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I meet you, I know how competitive you are as on the tour, but I don't see that. And I see that kindness, that compassion comes through for me every time I talk with you. And when I hear things like, she is the ultra competitor on the course. I'm like, no, she's so nice. No, this is not.
Well,
but you hate to lose.
I know that about you.
You do not like to lose.
I hate to lose, but I mean, you lose.
And you're a gracious winner.
Yeah.
I know you are.
Yeah.
See you.
And you know, if someone beats me, I tip a cap off. And but I'm coming at you next week. You know,
that's just my favorite part about you.
Yeah. I just I don't have any quit. But I love competition. I love the feeling of you know, hard work paying off. But you know, it's funny. See, I'm one that I have never watched tape or video of me winning. I've never gone back and watched. You know, I just move on to the next chapter, and I've always been that way. You know, someone like, you know, let's watch the last round of the U.S. Open. I'm like, no, I'm not watching. You know, because it's just kind of, I don't know. I think it's kind of creepy. So, yeah.
Do you watch tapes if you don't win?
No.
Not just none.
And I think that's what was probably bad in my broadcasting profession. It's like, you know, watch the tapes of, you know, of your broadcast. I'm like, there's no way I'm watching because I know I'm bad.
Oh, I get that. I know. I personally understand that mindset so
but
much.
But I think that's how you get better. Mm-hmm. But I've never been one to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Is there anything that you're not good at?
Brian would say I'm probably not a very good wife. I'm not good at a lot of things. I'm very unorganized. You know, Morgan will tell you, I'm organized. I was always organized in the kid stuff, and I just kind of fly by the seat of my pants with my stuff. Like, you know, I wasn't worried if I didn't have a hotel reservation, I'll find one, you know? I guess I chose my priorities, you know, pick your priorities, what's most important, and then fill in.
Yes,
and that's
kind of
what I did.
That's very smart.
Yeah,
that's great life advice too.
Because if you just worry about everything, then I don't think you ever have time to enjoy life.
Mm-hmm. And with this incredible career of yours and all of the wins that you've had, is there anything in your life that you would say, this is what I'm the most proud of?
I think being a mom is my most rewarding thing, occupation. It's a hard job.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everybody says, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Well, I tip my hat to you because that is not an easy job.
It's not an easy job.
And, you know, there's a lot of self-worth in that right there. But I think being a mom has been the most rewarding thing. Just how they've turned out as young women and, you know, how close they are to my parents or my mom and, you know, what people they are. They're just fun, caring people, and they've got two great husbands. I've always been a jock, and, you know, here I have two girls. I mean, they're not girly girls. They love sports, but they're girls.
Uh-huh.
And now I have two son-in-laws that love sports and stuff. So right now I got the best of both
yes,
worlds.
Yes, you do. Wait till those grandkids come.
I can't wait. I got two four-legged ones, but I'm looking for the two-legged
there
ones.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say thank you, Julie Inkster, for being the living legend you are, for being the inspiration you are, and just for giving us the gift of you.
Well, thanks to you for being a rock star and growing your occupation, and we got to support women, right?
Yes, we do.
And you have always been great at that. And
thank you.
Not only, you know, housing players, you know, you didn't know
from,
but you know what? They're your family now.
They are my family now.
Yeah, and
oh,
you know what?
Gosh.
When I was a rookie, I stayed in 90% of housing, and I still am very close to all of them.
Oh,
so
the best.
It's the best.
It's
but
a gift
thank
that
you.
Keeps on giving.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So, thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Christy.
Mm-hmm. Find success by your own definition at your intersection of business and life on my next podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm Christy Kay.
Business Life After Hours is hosted and produced by Christy Kay. Audio engineering, production, and editing by Chris Pfeiffer. Be sure to join Christy for her award-winning television series, Business Life 360, the third Thursday of the month on WGTE-HD or at WGTE.org/B360. Business Life After Hours is a production of WGTE Public Media.